You're listening to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for Cynthia Canty. After 40 days on strike, the UAW and GM ratified a new contract on Friday. The agreement includes pay raises for workers, the end of the two-tier system, and the shuttering of three plants. Here to talk about what the strike means for the labor movement is Stephen Greenhouse, a former New York Times labor reporter and author of a new book, Beaten Down, Worked Up: The Past, Present, and Future of American Labor. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
All right, so give me your big takeaways from this strike.
So I think the strike was a draw in many ways. You know, clearly the union was very angry that GM had closed the Lordstown plant and really wanted the plant reopened. And at the same time, the union felt that, you know, they helped pull General Motors out of bankruptcy back in 2009. They gave all sorts of concessions, pay freezes, a two-tier wage system, and they wanted, I guess their message was, we helped you, GM, and you haven't done enough to repay us, and we want to recoup some of the pay we lost. We want to end the two-tier wage system. So when I say it was a draw, they made some big gains on pay, on compensation, but they failed at their big goal of getting General Motors to agree to reopen the Lordstown plant.
Was the Lordstown plant the big aim? I know they are going to repurpose or keep open anyway the Hamtramck plant, which is a big deal here. But was Lordstown really the big one they were shooting for?
I'd say yes. Lordstown was just a huge plant, you know, and symbolically very important. President Trump went to the Youngstown, Lordstown area a few years ago and said, don't worry, you don't have to sell your homes. This plant is going to remain open. Historically, in UAW history, this has been a major, major plant, the scene of tremendous labor disputes about trying to make work more humane. And just symbolically, it was really important for the UAW. And I think keeping that plant open was one of the main goals in the talks. And GM was extremely intransigent on it. And I think, you know, partly to buy off the union and its members, GM agreed to a richer pay package, compensation package, than it would have. And to me, it was, you know, extremely unusual for a company to offer an $11,000 signing bonus. That's a whole lot of money. It's like, we're going to pay you off because we know and you know that certain other parts of the contract of the agreement are not very good.
So because Lordstown has been at the middle of a political circus, if you will, and been made an example of by President Trump, What does this portend? What does this strike portend for the future of our political election cycle here coming up in the next year?
I'm sure the Democrats will seize on the closing of Lordstown to say, Donald Trump, you promised that no plants would close on your watch as president. Donald Trump, you told the people of Lordstown, Youngstown area, you told the people of Ohio, don't worry, no need to move. I'll manage to keep the plant open. So I think the Democrats and labor unions, you know, we'll use this as a club to bang Donald Trump over the head with. And I think also a lot of workers will feel, you know, Donald Trump promised to bring back all the jobs. He promised to stop jobs moving to Mexico. Yet this big plant closed down largely because General Motors had moved the operation of what was made in Lordstown to Mexico. To be a little more specific, GM said we need to close the Lordstown plant because sales of our Chevy Cruze had fallen. And that's true. The sales had fallen. So it closed the plant here while one of its plants in Mexico continues to make Chevy Cruzes. So it's a real black eye, so to speak, for GM and I think for Donald Trump as well.
It's interesting, though, as we look at this current strike, even though these plants and the union has come into focus in our political spectrum, it also seems like outside of local media or at least in the Midwest, it doesn't seem like the strike had received quite as much coverage as other issues seem to take over the news cycle, both on television and in newspapers. Did you get a sense that this wasn't necessarily receiving the same coverage it may have pre-recession, pre-auto bailout?
Yes and no. I mean, on a certain level, Laura, it's impeachment all the time right now.
Right.
So considering that, I think the strike got a lot of coverage. I mean, I was just reading this fabulous piece in the Boston Globe that must be a 3,000-word piece about, you know, the closing of Lordstown and what that means for Ohio and for the nation and symbolically. And, you know, this, you know, and the strike was the lead story in the New York Times where I worked for 31 years, you know, the lead story for the New York Times the day the strike began. I thought it got a lot of coverage. You know, a lot of labor things haven't gotten much coverage in recent years and recent decades. And I think, you know, GM is an iconic company. Lordstown is a very important plant. You know, there's been a wave of strikes in the past 18 months with the teacher strikes and the Marriott strikes and the Stop and Shop strike in New England. And I think this kind of got a lot of attention because it was GM and because, you know, it's the biggest private sector strike in over a decade. And also it's kind of this growing wave of strikes and people are, newspapers, the media paying more attention to what labor is doing when it goes on strike.
What does the outcome of this strike tell you about overall union might?
So, you know, in my book, I have beaten down, worked up the past, present, and future of American labor. I write a lot about General Motors and its kind of iconic clashes, confrontations with the United Auto Workers, the Flint sit-down strike, which was a pivotal strike in finally enabling organized labor to unionize the nation's largest company. I think here, a lot of companies are going to look at this settlement, a lot of unions are going to look at this settlement and say, General Motors is moving definitively away from a two-tier contract system to help pull itself out of bankruptcy back in 2009 and insisted that the UAW accept, you know, reluctantly accept this two-tier wage system where longtime workers are making $29 an hour, but new hires would make between like 14 and 24 an hour. And the new hires really resented that. They really got angry that they were working alongside, you know, people who were making 29 an hour when they were only making 14 and 17 and 24 an hour. So in this agreement, General Motors agreed definitively to like close down the whole idea of two-tier wage system. And I think that's going to have ripple effects across America where other unions are going to say, well, GM ended two-tier contracts, we should too. And GM also agreed to phase out, to stop using temporary workers, which is another sore point in the negotiations. One thing that was very interesting for me is the day the strike began, Terry Dittus, who was the UAW's chief negotiator with General Motors, said, we're not striking just for us, we're striking for all Americans. You folks don't like factories moving to Mexico, we're going to fight against that. You folks, you know, worried about the future jobs for your children, your grandchildren, our grandchildren. And they said, General Motors, this great company, 7% of its workers are temporary workers making just $15 an hour. We're going to fight that, not just to help current auto workers, but to help the nation, because we have to phase out these precarious, unsteady, uncertain jobs that just pay $15 an hour.
So you mentioned what this might mean for the near term. What does it mean for the long term for the UAW and unions?
So, it's hard to look in one's crystal ball and say what it means long term. I think it certainly means, you know, the UAW did not lose this strike. I think, you know, at worst it was a draw, and in many ways it was a victory except for Lordstown, because on the compensation front, it won a lot. You know, it got pretty good raises. It got a phasing out of the two-tier wage system. It got a phasing out of GM's using temps. And GM was demanding that the union pay a lot more towards health coverage. The workers now just pay 3% of overall health coverage, and the company wanted them to pay 10%. The company gave up on that demand, and the workers are still paying just 3%. So I think it means, you know, it shows that the union can really succeed. And I think this will embolden the union to hang tough in negotiations with Fiat Chrysler and with Ford. And I think other unions looking at this will say this continues the, you know, the winning streak, even though I'm not sure if this was a win. But, you know, they'll say this shows that when unions go on strike and hang tough and take to the streets and are fairly militant, you know, workers can gain more than they would if they don't. Having said that, strikes are painful. And some people say both sides lost because, you know, GM lost like $2 billion from having, you know, shut down production for all these weeks. And a lot of workers lost thousands of dollars worth of wages. But on the other hand, the workers will say, we made these important gains and it was worth it.
Stephen Greenhouse is a former New York Times labor reporter and the author of the recently released book, Beaten Down, Worked Up, The Past, Present, and Future of American Labor. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here.